Oh, I think in a special way, let us in front of the Blessed Sacrament call down the Holy Spirit. Veni Sancte Spiritus, Veni Sancte Spiritus, Veni Sancte Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit, bless the lips of all who are proclaiming your good news this evening through song. Bless my lips that I may do you glory and honor and praise. Bless the lips of our people here, that they will truly hear that word called blessed in their lips and in their heart. Looking for a blessing, Lord, kumbaya. Looking for a blessing, Lord, kumbaya. Looking for a blessing, Lord, kumbaya. Oh, Lord, kumbaya. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to come here to be with you this evening. It seems like I drove from another country. I'm now assigned to Woodhaven, which is downriver. I asked one of the young priests yesterday, we were talking, and he says, Father, where are you? And I said, Woodhaven. And he says, oh, is that near Toledo? I says, come on down and find out where I'm at. And so I came up here with the blessing and the honor and the privilege to be with you this evening. To be with you because of the theme called blessed. What's that theme? Blessed. And as we look to that word blessed, it's trying to capture it and live it and breathe it and allow it to be part of us. So I would invite you to think to those moments of your own encounter where you have felt blessed. In my youngest days as a young boy growing up in the Polish-American culture, we often, as I remember back as a little boy, were often blessed by the elders of our community, our grandparents, our uncles, our great aunts and uncles. And I remember as a little boy, they would bless us when we were leaving the house. They would put the sign of the cross on our forehead. And I was also thinking about how have I encompassed and lived and experienced this thing called blessed? Well, I was a missionary in the Caribbean for 25 years. And it's very interesting when you enter a different culture because you have one foot in that culture and one foot in the culture you have come from. And it was an interesting encounter in the Caribbean culture because being enslaved, 85% of the people in the Caribbean came from Africa. And when they were brought over against their will, they had to learn how to live as property, as possessions, as slaves. And what they brought with them was a very interesting thing that impacted me in my ministry there as a Divine Word missionary, that in the African villages, there were two people you went to on a regular basis. There was the person of blessings, called the white magic, where you went to that person in the village to ask blessings, that they would sacrifice certain rituals and certain objects so that you would receive a blessing in your life. And the other person you went to in the village was the one called the curser. You went to that person when you wanted to curse someone. Many times I wish I had that. But how it impacted me in my Caribbean ministry is that when the people came to the islands, they no longer knew how to kind of function in their African village. So the Catholic priest in the Caribbean became the person you went to for blessings. Whether you were Catholic or Anglican or Methodist or Jehovah Witness or whether you were the Pentecostal church, the priest was always approached for people who wanted a blessing. I don't know how many vans I blessed, how many taxis, how many dogs, cats, donkeys, houses. And I would often say to them, I don't see you in church. Oh, Father, I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Methodist. I says, well, go ask your Methodist minister. Oh, no, Father, you're the one with the blessings. And, of course, the other person did arrive. There was always the person in the village for cursing. I never always knew who that was. It was kept from the priest. But that experience in a culture where people were very aware of blessings and curses in their lives, and how they felt it was important to interact with both the blessing and the curse, even to the way you greet someone in the Caribbean. When you say, how are you? Most people then respond, thank God for life. How are you? And it's a resonation of blessing. But we have to come to the point this evening to understand blessed. What blessed is not? And so I turn to a Rodgers Hammerstein song that only those two could write about with life as I focus in on blessed is not. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. I'm going to skip verse 2 and 3 because then it gets to the refrain. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. And then I don't feel so bad. And that's the problem when we're called about blessed. Some people think blessed is lucky. I am so blessed. I got here tonight with no accident. There is that sense that blessed can be this thing about, you know what? God loves me. I'm his favorite. That's not blessed either. And yet, there are those moments in the culture and in some of our theologies and faith where we think blessed is being lucky. We think blessed is somehow being a little above other people. In the New York Times, there was an article by Jessica Bennett, and the article was entitled, They Feel Blessed. She was kind of resounding on how she had noticed on her social networking that so many people in her life were blessed. She said that a friend got accepted into graduate school, and there was a hashtag, blessed. There was the incident where someone, a friend, made a yoga instructor's Caribbean spa retreat and was down there on vacation, and the hashtag was, blessed to be teaching in paradise, she wrote. But the article goes on to say, there's nothing quite like invoking holiness as a way to brag about your life, about calling something blessed, that somehow it's become the go-to term for those who want to boast about an accomplishment or pretend to be humble. I love where she says this. She says, the overuse of the word has all but stripped it of its meaning. She writes and gives the example. Now it's just like, strawberries are half priced at Trader Joe's. I feel so blessed. It's gotten to the point of humor. A Canadian comedian, Davon Magwood, recently tweeted, caught a piece of bacon out of my sandwich right before it hit the ground. And guess what naturally followed? Hashtag blessed. And so we have to understand what blessed is not, so that we can then truly understand what blessed should be and can be and will be in each of our lives. I know you don't think you're just going to sit there the whole time. To interact with blessed, we have to do some movement. And so those who can stand, I invite you to stand. Those who can't can do it in their pew. And we have to open our hearts to blessed. That's the theme tonight. What does blessed mean? And let's enter into that. Sense your breathing. Feel your heart. Get a sense of what's around you. And then I invite you. I'll sing it once and invite you to come in after that. If you know it, join me. If you don't know it, join me. Blessed be for me. Blessed behind me. Blessed under my feet. Blessed above me. Blessed within me. Let all around me be blessed. Oh, you know it. Let's try it again. Because to truly understand and live and breathe and grasp blessed, we have to open ourselves. We can't just sit in the pew like a sponge and go, okay, hit me, Father. Entertain me. Give me something. Woo! Blessed be for me. Blessed behind me. Blessed under my feet. Blessed above me. Blessed within me. Let all around me be blessed. And I'll invite you to take a seat. And so what is blessed? I went to visit one of the older people in the Caribbean, and I said to this old lady one night, I said, boy, what a blessed evening. And she says, well, what is blessed? And I said, well, I don't know. What do you think it is? And she said to me, blessed is God's messing and caressing, and that will become a blessing. God's a messing and caressing, and that becomes a blessing. And I had to think about that when I was walking back up to the church at the top of the hill. I thought, you know what? Blessing is when sometimes God's messing with us, right? Blessing is sometimes when God is caressing us. And so we come to embrace and encounter. Because not one of us is God's favorite. We are blessed because we are all God's favorites. And that blows our human logic, our finite minds. How can each one of us here be God's favorite? I want to be his favorite. But to be blessed, we understand that each one of us is God's favorite. You and I are called to a sensation and a dialogue of blessed. We hear this evening, we're still in the Christmas season. So I wore this Christmas stole because technically in the Archdiocese of Detroit and in other places, the Christmas season ends when? Sunday evening. And so Monday morning, we go back into the season of ordinary time. So I can still wear my Christmas stole. And as I was thinking about blessed, I read what was given as the scripture passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And I read that now because we're still in the Christmas season. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called to a virgin betrothed to a man named of the house of, and the virgin's name was? Okay, you know the story. And coming to her, this angel Gabriel said, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. That became a blessed moment. When the angel Gabriel said to Mary, hail, the Lord is with you. That's what it means to be blessed. Now, if you read further in the story, as she's going, after feeling this moment of being blessed by angel Gabriel's voice, well, God blessing her through the voice of the angel, You go on and you hear later in the story, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how does this happen to me, the mother of my Lord, who comes to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. So not only did Mary sense what blessed was through the angel Gabriel's voice, later in the story, we encounter blessed between these two women. Two women who were not the uppity-ups of society. They were not the big, fancy, accepted women. One was a young lady who was going to have a baby without being married. She was betrothed. And then you have Elizabeth, who's an old lady who had been going through years of people rebuking her and judging her and saying something must have happened. She has no favor with God. She's never been able to have a child. But in that moment, these two women embrace blessed. It's an encounter between the two women of the Christmas story that then live out that word blessed. We hear in the psalm, Psalm 84 verse 5 says, "Blessed is the one whose heart is set on pilgrimage." My dear people, to be blessed, we have to realize every one of our hearts here is sent on pilgrimage. We are on a pilgrim journey. Are you with me? And blessed is that heart on this pilgrim journey. We come to find blessed is about involvement, saturation, absorption, permeation. I know you've probably heard of these TED Talks. How many of you have heard of TED Talks? TED, thank you, Father. And I decided that TED, TED, in a very special way, meant theology excites determination. T, theology is the study of God. E, excites, and D, determination. And I like to watch some of these TED Talks. Pope Francis gave a TED Talk, and there was one that was very interesting to me. Amy Cuddy was a social psychologist. She still is. And she gave a TED Talk in 2012. And she said, and her whole thesis was, your body language shapes who you are. And as she went on in her TED talk, I came to realize blessed is also bodily expression. She explained that as she was studying social behaviors, she realized that people, their body language was very interesting. She went on to say that people who wanted to come into a room, who were somehow confident, who wanted to lead the discussion, their body gestures expanded. They grew. But those who were unsure of themselves, those who lacked a certain confidence, they had certain gestures themselves. They are the ones who kind of sit or their shoulders are folded in. She showed one picture where someone's like this or someone's playing with their hair, what I have left. And she showed different gestures of what expands a person's confidence and what belittles and makes them feel low and lacking of self-esteem. And I couldn't help but think that blessed has to be encountered in that way, through our body gestures. When I say Mass on Sundays, I challenge my parishioners, especially in two areas. The first is when we get to the Gloria, and a lot of the parishioners go, "Ah, that's the choir's job. I can just stand here." And so the Gloria's going along, and I'm looking out at the congregation, and I see people like this. And then the other place I noticed that was happening was the thing we say every Sunday, and it's become so rote for many people that it's the same kind of effect. The creed. And in our church, we have these two screens, so it's up on the screens. And I was watching people there, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." And they were just rattling through it. And I started watching their body gestures. And I started to challenge them. I started to say, do you think Mass is boring? Because it looks like your bodies are telling me at the Gloria, you're bored. Or it's not your job at the Gloria. It's like it's the creed, you're bored. You're just rattling something off. And the psalm after the first reading, that's the cantor's job. And we'll just sit there. And I said, it's boring. If you're bored and church is boring, it's because you're boring. It's because you're boring. Because when it's the Gloria, it's not the choir's job to sing the Gloria. They're there to help enhance it. But you have to take it in. You have to, in your body gestures, sing. And even if you can't sing, at least mum it or gum it or whatever you do, you know? But you have to somehow enter into the Gloria. You can't just stand there and go, that's not my job. Okay, that's about another 2 minutes. If nothing else, start to encompass and embrace the words. Glory to God in the highest. In the psalm, take your hands right now. In the psalm, you should have your hands spread out on your lap. Or whatever it means to open your body to worship with God. And so the psalm will have more meaning when you take your hands and you open them. And your body is in a gesture of openness and prayer. That's the importance. And that's what I'm trying to get at tonight about the word blessed. When you say the creed, I've said to people, pray the creed by emphasizing the action words of the creed. I believe in one God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. Amen. And so part of encompassing blessed is what we see and hear from Mary when she goes to give that Magnificat at the end of those greetings. She magnifies the Lord because she has allowed her body and her gestures to be open and her heart to be open. She didn't go, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. Now you might say, oh yeah, Father, you're getting theatrical. I can't get theatrical. I don't like that in church. I want reverence. So don't tell me to start getting theatrical in church. I'm not talking about theatrics. I'm talking about passion. I'm talking about allowing the word blessed to be part of how you breathe and how you live and how you encounter each other. I am blessed. You are blessed. Blessed be God. Can we say that? I am blessed. You are blessed. Blessed be God. And as we say that, we start to understand. But see, you and I aren't literally blessing God. I hope you know that. We are not there going, blessed be God, bless you, God. Because you have to understand the Hebrew word there for blessed. Baruch is the word when we're blessing each other. We have the right to bless each other. We've been told in Scripture about blessing each other. But when it comes to blessed be God, it's not us blessing God, because the word Baruch comes from the Hebrew word Berech. And Berech means knee. And when I say blessed be God, it means I'm going down on my knee in humility before this God who is the God of my life. That is blessed be God. And that's what we have to encompass and understand right now and take with us as we go to pray. I love the movie Zorba the Greek. Anyone remember that? With Anthony Quinn? And his character, Nikos, is in there. And he says something very interesting at one point. He says, God changes his appearance every second. Blessed is the one who can recognize God in all his disguises. Blessed is the one who can recognize God in all his disguises. That's why Gabriel comes and greets Mary. Mary begins to recognize, because her heart is open to every second in the way God is disguised and how she comes to know him and pray and worship. But there's an interesting point there. You and I as Catholics, and I say this all the time, we have 2 feet, 2 legs. Our 1 foot or leg, ta-da, is Scripture. It's God's word. But our other leg or foot is tradition. 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 It's over 2,000 years of our Catholic community Christian experience led by the Holy Spirit. And so our left foot is God's word. And we come to understand God's word through the Bible. But the right foot and the right leg is the tradition of our Catholic faith. And that's where we're a little different from other Christian communities. A lot of times the Christian community will say, that's it, that's all that's there, the word of God. Our Catholic faith says, we've got another foot. It's called tradition. And we find it in the catechism of our Catholic Church. Over 2,000 years of our Catholic faith and tradition, but led by the Holy Spirit. Because if our Catholic faith was not led by the Holy Spirit, we would be a religion on a bookshelf. You know that. You know, with all the human mess-ups that we've had in centuries, at different times throughout our lives and our faith, over different decades, over different centuries, there have been humans who have messed up in the name of the Catholic Church. But thank God, that right foot, that right leg, tradition, is led by the Holy Spirit. And so I close with this sense of God's word with blessed. It begins, of course, in the first book of Genesis. God says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and your name will be great, so that you will be a blessing. You are a blessing. From the very first book of Scripture, we are reminded that each one of us is a blessing. We hear in Psalm 3, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. That is blessed. We are blessed when we realize and breathe and understand that the Lord sustains our lives no matter what. We hear in Matthew 5, of course, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Because blessed also has to be a certain attitude. Of course, we hear that in our music sometimes, huh? She's got a new attitude. We have to have a new attitude because Christ is our new creation in each one of us. And of course, we hear also in the Catechism of the Catholic Faith that the life of the blessed consist in the full and perfect possession of the fruits of the redemption accomplished by Christ. The life of the blessed consists in the full and perfect possession of the fruits of redemption accomplished by Christ. We are possessed with the fruits of Christ. That's why we are blessed. And so I close with two old friends. They meet each other one day. One looked forlorn. He looked like he was on the verge of tears. And his friend looks at him and says, what has the world done to you, my old friend? The sad fellow said, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. His friend says, that's a lot of money. Well, you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear. His friend says, well, oh my gosh, it sounds as though you've been very blessed. Well, you don't understand, he interrupted. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost $250,000 from her. Now, the man's friend is really confused, and he says, "Well, I don't understand. Why do you look so glum?" And his friend looked at him. He says, "Because this week, nothing." Do not make blessed an entitlement. We do not and cannot and should not feel entitled, because blessed is deeper than that. And so I close with part of a song. In Alice in Wonderland, Alice says, "Where should I go?" And the Cheshire Cat says, "That depends on where you want to end up." Where do you want to end up? Do you want that blessed in your life? I am blessed. You are blessed. Blessed be God. And so there's that beautiful refrain from the Divine Praises. And I close with that. And I would invite you, if you know it, to join in. Sarah Hart and Josh Blakesley do it. Blessed be, blessed be. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be, blessed be the Lord. For all the times that God has been there, even in our moments of stress, for all those times where God is there and gives us the strength and courage we need and helps us make it through another day. Blessed be, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be, blessed be the Lord. And we are called then to go and to bless others. It's part of our Catholic DNA. Every one of you here can bless others. Bless your children when they go out to school. Bless them when they go to bed at night. Bless each other. Make the sign of the cross on the forehead and say, "You are blessed." Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be, blessed be the Lord. And finally, when we say blessed be God, we get down on our berek, down on our knee, because that's where we feel God's blessing, when we are humble. When we allow our humility to stretch our hearts to make more space for God. Blessed be, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be, blessed be the Lord. How are you? Thank God for life. Amen.